Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. This week, we're talking about the role of the prophet, both some understanding of it in how it functioned in the Old Testament. Yesterday, in particular, talked about Jesus as prophet, those who had heard Jesus throughout the gospel. They speak about Jesus as being a prophet more than they do anything else. I put that in the context of the Catholic Church's understanding and teaching that we share in, we participate, because we're baptized into the body of Christ, the ministry of Jesus, priest, prophet, king. And all three of those matter. It talked about how in the priesthood in particular, they're heightened or they're expressed in a unique way through ordination. Very important, all three of them. But in some way, the role of the prophet is often misunderstood and it's the least recognized. For example, in the life of the priest meaning we see where he's right at the center of our life together, which is offering the Eucharist every single day. And that's his priestly role, among other things. And then there's the kingly role of governing in leading the people of God. And they participate in the unique role of the bishop in a diocese who is particularly responsible as they share in the priesthood and these other dimensions of the life of the bishop. Everyone understands that they also participate in the life of the prophet, but it's not something that's understood fully or I think communicated in a way that people can understand it. Because the baptized, people who are listening, who've been baptized, you participate in the priestly, prophetic, and kingly roles of Jesus. Jesus was recognized, as I said yesterday, throughout the Gospels as a prophet. The Pharisees who feared him said he's a prophet, so we've got to be careful what we do to him. The people kept seeing him working signs and wonders and then preaching with authority, calling everybody out of sin and to come back to be baptized, to repentance, that kind of thing, to the purity. I read a whole series of passages in which it mentioned that. And then today I want to talk about a couple of other things. One is just what the life of the prophet was as it's characterized in the Old Testament. And then if we have some time to begin to talk about how Jesus exercised his prophetic role, then hopefully before the week's out, we'll talk about present-day prophetic voices that are really helping the church because we need them. We need them now. I mean, everyone knows the world is shaking. Everyone knows there's huge divisions and confusions and a kind of craziness in the world and in the culture. And prophets are voices that help us understand. They are able to read the signs of the times, to interpret what the Spirit's saying to the church, and to communicate and call people back to God. And so I think we need more prophets to be awakened in our time, all of us really to be more on alert, to be conduits of God's grace, to communicate the truth when it seems right in the Lord, when he leads us to do it, to call people from darkness to light. But here's some interesting stuff I came across a few years ago from Rabbi Abraham Heschel, who was a very prominent Jewish rabbi here in the United States. He wrote a book called The Prophets. And so he described what the prophet is like and kind of how God uses the prophet. And then the challenging, the weight that's on the prophet and the cost of being a prophet. Begin with Amos chapter 8, verse 4 through 6. He said, "The things that horrified the prophets are daily occurrences around the world." So I just mentioned Amos 8, 4 through 6, because there he's calling out what's going on in the world at that time in his life and in the people of God. And these habits people had gotten themselves into were profoundly offensive to God. And the prophet is horrified by it. It goes on, "The prophets grow indignant over things we become accustomed to. Think about the things in the world. I remember Jesus, you know, his message to us, to the apostles, they communicated to us was to be in the world, but not of the world, to come out of the world. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't love the world and the things that are in the world." Talking about the fallen dimension of what we've created. You know, there's demonic forces genuine, real, live demonic forces at work resisting the kingdom. There's fallen human hearts that are defining reality apart from God, not paying much attention to what God's mind, the understanding of the purpose of what is a human being, how are we called to live, how are we called to live together as communities of people, things like that. The prophet who has made a break by God's grace from the world is given grace by God to see the world through the Lord's eyes, imperfectly, but more clearly than the majority of people who are just living in the world and taking in pretty much everything the world is offering. So here's a few more things he says about it. That is Rabbi Heschel. Again, the prophets grow indignant over things we become accustomed to. The prophet's ear is attuned to a cry that is imperceptible to others. That's the mind and the heart of Christ. If you think about his own ministry, his own while he was here, how he consistently called people out of their attachment to the world, whatever it was, to pride, to authority, to wealth, pleasure, the idols that are in the world. He identified them. And you remember when he wept over Jerusalem? Because Jerusalem had really forgotten God in so many ways. He wept, and people were living there. And some of them, Jesus went after the leadership in such an intense way because there was self-righteousness there. And they thought, we're fine the way we are. And they were so far from where the Lord desired them to be as genuine shepherds. That's why he was very hard on them. He made it easy for people, he said, to walk in darkness, essentially, because they weren't living it themselves and they weren't calling people to it. Here's a few more thoughts. He said, to many, the world is serene. In the prophet's eye, the world reels in confusion. The prophet has a vision for the end. Others are intoxicated with the here and the now. The prophet's prominent theme is exhortation, not primarily prediction. The primary task is to declare the word of God in the here and the now, and to disclose the future to enlighten the present. God gives prophets sneak previews of coming attractions, you could say. By understanding the moment and where it's going, and gives people an opportunity to change the direction, because they're moving where everybody's going, and they're celebrating what the world is exalting and celebrating for a variety of different reasons, which we'll talk about before the week's out. So for the prophet, man's coexistence with God determines the course of history. This is an important line, easily forgotten in the contemporary scene. Man's coexistence with God determines the course of history. And right now, we're living at a moment where it seems like the global consensus, or maybe that's a little too broad to say, consensus, particularly in the Western world, the quote-unquote first world, is man determines the course of history. Our intelligence is what determines the course of history. Our power, our money, our inventions, this is what determines the course of history. And it therefore defines what matters most, what people ought to be most concerned about. But guess what? It's all going to pass away. Literally, it's going to pass away. Because what? Because it's not done in God. Because it's not recognizing God and the things of God. And it can seem like a self-made, successful pathway. But if it's something that's built on, includes ignoring God and the foundations of reality itself as God created it, and giving to God what belongs to God, friends, it may glitter like crazy. It might dazzle the world. But in the end, it's the life of empty show. And it's going to be judged. It was already judged on the cross of Jesus. But it's going to go nowhere ultimately. And human history is determined by Christ and those who are united to him and the light that comes from Christ. Another one, the prophet's ear is toward the Lord and his eye is to the contemporary scene. So that's partly what I was just referring to. Its ear is toward the Lord. And this is what prophetic voices call people back to. And I think, I wish we had more of it from our priests, churches say, are you listening to the Lord? Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you responding to what the Lord is saying? Are you paying attention to him? What's most influencing your life? And then he has an eye toward the contemporary scene so he can analyze it. He can point it out. He can say, no, that way is danger. This way is safety. What people are celebrating over there, that's danger. That leads to death. It's offensive to God. It takes courage to be a prophet. The prophet stands in the counsel of the Lord. Right? He stands before the Lord. He's eager to hear from the Lord. Amos chapter 3, verse 17. Sure, the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secrets to the prophets. So we'll see over the next few days, I give some examples of, you know, contemporary prophetic voices that really it's another expression of what Amos is speaking about here. He's revealing secrets to the prophets. The task of prophetic thinking is to bring the world into divine focus. Let me read that again. Again, this is Rabbi Heschel. The task of prophetic thinking is to bring the world into divine focus, to see things as God sees them, to get the lens perfectly set so we can see clearly what's going on around us, where we are, in relationship to what God sees and what God values. The prophet experiences fellowship with the feelings of God, sympathy with the divine pathos. He hears God's voice and she feels God's heart. It's beautiful. And how do prophets experience the call? He's particularly, I think, referring to the Old Testament, but Jesus experienced the same thing. The prophet is often considered imbalanced, abnormal, and he's a lonely man. Amos 5:10, they hate him who reproves at the gate. They abhor him who speaks the truth. Jeremiah 15:17, I sat alone because thy hand was upon me. I sat alone. So it's a lonely thing to be a prophet like these folks were and like Jesus and in many ways the apostles were. The duty of the prophet, Ezekiel 2:7, speak to the people whether they hear or refuse. Isaiah 58:1, God declares to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Jeremiah 2:19, let the people know that it is evil and bitter to forget God. The prophet says, remember God with all your heart. Hope you can join me tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.